It's good to be back here in your church, Pacific Baptist Church. And, you know, I just want you to know that we're praying for your pastor back there in Philippines. And I believe we'll do miracles because a lot of people all over the world are praying for him. Amen. Amen. I know you miss him very well, and we continue to pray for him. And I think the last time I came is about 2007 or 2009. But anyway, I thank the Lord for what God is doing here through your pastor. Look at your new building. I'm very excited. Amen. You know, pastor is always thinking about expanding. You know, we expanding the ministry or building big buildings so we can bring people in, get them saved, baptize them, and then train them to be a soul winner, or if God calls them, send them out. And I believe with all my heart, the only way to reach the world for Christ is through the local church. Amen. I thank God for the ministry that God entrusted to you. And before I preach, I want to show you our video of our ministry back there in Philippines. Thank you very much. Well, praise the Lord. It's all by the grace of God. And please continue to pray for us in the Philippines. We have also a building project, and we are dreaming and we are begging on God that God will give us we need. We are planning to build a 4,500 seating capacity auditorium, and I believe it can be done. Amen. Amen. God's work done in God's way. Never lack God's supply. He always supply the needs. And again, I'm so thankful for God for allowing me to come. Open your Bible, please. And Luke chapter 19. I'm so excited about Brother Dave going to Cebu. I thank God for Pastor Win Pichardo and Brother Ray Pichardo. You know, I remember 1978 when I knocked on the door of their house, and their dad opened the gate and let me in, and I witnessed to their dad, and he got saved. The following Sunday, he went to our church. Amen. And never know that God will bring them here. And Brother Win Pichardo now is in Daly City. I was there last June 22nd, and they're having a great work. God is using him mightily. And now they're sending missionary in Philippines. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's the way to do it. Amen. Open your Bible, please, in Luke chapter 19. Shall we stand up, please? I'm going to read verse 1 until verse 10. You know, I've been praying for many, many years that God will give us a missionary that would help us in our Bible college, especially the graduates, because we have already more than 300 graduates in our Bible college. This year, 2014-2015, we have about 200 students. We have more than 60 new students in first year. So our goal is to send them out when they graduate. So I thank God for the ministry that God entrusted to us. Luke 19, verse 1 to 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass the way that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And I have taken, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as so much as also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Loving Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the songs that we heard. Lord, forgive us of our sin, cleanse our heart. We come to the throne of grace through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for our salvation. Thank you for saving our souls and the privilege of serving thee. Forgive us of our sin, cleanse our heart. Holy Spirit of God, we need your presence and your power. We pray for Pastor Esposito. I pray, O God, that you restore his health, O God, so that he can continue serving thee, do more for thee, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Esposito, please. You know, I got saved 1973 through the ministry of the missionary of Dr. Lee Robertson. And the missionary of Dr. Lee Robertson won my father to the Lord, and my father won a man to the Lord, and that man won me to the Lord. So I could trace back my salvation in the human side to Dr. Lee Robertson. And I thank God for American churches that sent missionary in the Philippines many years ago, and I am one of the product. I praise for God for it. We have also a ministry for the deaf and mute. You know, we started in 1996 with three, and now we have more than 100, and we have a school for the deaf and mute. I don't know if we have the same sign language. This is amen. And this is stand. And this is understand. No, I'm just kidding. This is sit, right? Sit. And this is upset. No. Well, it's good to see ladies here. What kind of church do we have tonight without the ladies? Amen. And what kind of choir we have if we don't have the ladies? And who will be the Sunday school teachers without the ladies? Who will work for missions conference without the ladies? It reminds me of the story when one lady died and go to heaven, they call it angel. Group of ladies died. They went to heaven, they call it host of angels. If all ladies will die and go to heaven, what do you call it? Peace on earth. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, Luke chapter 19. Let's go back. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love you, ladies. The greatest business in all the world is the business of preaching the gospel to every creature. All born-again believers, our priority should be biblical priorities. Amen. If you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will be persuaded that priority number one for God's people is to make our God known to the entire world. And I believe we can do it through the Bible program. And Bible's program is always through the local church. The Great Commission was given to the local church. Go and preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So the passages that we just read is the story of a man by the name of Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus is a short or a little stature. Maybe he is a Filipino citizen or Cambodian citizen. But you know, the Bible says he was a rich man. He is working with the Roman government as a tax collector. And you know, when he get a tax from the people, for example, Brother Peter Mord, he is going to pay $400 for his tax. He will get 800, and 400 he put it in the Roman government, and 400 he will put it on his pocket. So that is corruption. You know, in the Philippines, we call it BIR. That is the IRS here. And corruption. Since then, there was a corruption, and until now, we used to say in the Philippines, in India, the bribery, they call it bribery in India. It's under the table. They call it under the table. In China, they call it above the table. In Philippines, they includes the table. So corruption, wherever you go, it's rampant. But you know what? Zacchaeus, he got saved. He got saved, and the Bible says he received Jesus joyfully. Amen. There is joy in your heart when you receive Christ as your personal Savior. There's a song, "'Twas a grand day when I was born again. 'Twas a grand day when I was born again. The place I used to go, I go there no more. The books I used to read, I read them no more. The clothes I used to wear, I wear them no more. 'Twas a grand day when I was born again." Every saved Christian will testify the happiest moment in our life is when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The day, the moment that we receive Him, the Bible declares that our sins were forgiven and we have eternal life. And you know what? The good thing here we find in verse 8, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. For example, if Brother Moore will pay 800 for the tax, and you know, when he got saved, God changed his attitude towards money. And he said, I'm going to restore it fourfold. So 800 times 4, that would be 3,200. You know, I believe with all my heart, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So God changed his attitude towards money. You know, money is, in this world, money, they make it God. In America, money to some people is God. But listen to this, especially in America, I want you to know, and you know it, that America was founded on the Word of God. But it's some things that America has gone away from the Word of God. It's time to restore. It's time to have revival and let this America know that there is God and America needs God. Amen. So God changed his attitude towards money. Listen to this. There's nothing wrong about money. If you don't need money, give it to me. I will take it back to Philippines and build that 4,500 city capacity auditorium. Everybody needs money. Wherever you go, you talk about money. But my question, why is it that in church and in every independent Baptist church, when you talk about money, it makes them quiet? Can we sing Silent Night? But listen to this. There's nothing wrong about money. The wrong thing about money is when you fall in love with money. Don't let the money control you. Amen. So tonight, what I'm going to give you tonight is the money behind the mission. I love mission. A church without mission is no church at all. A church without mission, if it's a dying, it's dead. The reason that there's a lot of churches today in America are closing because they lost their vision about mission. Listen to this. If we could just borrow God's eyes. You remember that rich man in hell. He's begging for mercy. He's there in hell. And until now, he's in hell begging for mercy. But hell's a place of no mercy. Hell's a place of no Christ. It is a place of torment. It is a place of destruction. Man without Christ died, they will go straight to the devil's hell. And once you go to hell, you will be there forever and ever and ever. But praise God, God gave us the only way to escape out of hell is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is not church, it is not Christ plus church. It is not Christ plus baptism. It is not Christ plus amount of money. But it's Christ plus nothing and minus nothing. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, shed on the cross of Calvary, there's power in the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Preaching the gospel is free. But it takes money to take the gospel. Amen. That's why there's nothing wrong. If you study the Bible, there are more than 30 parables. But 16 of them is about money. Amen. Wherever you go, you talk about money. You go to McDonald's, that's money. You go to Jollibee, you talk about money. You go to Max's, you talk about money. You go to Independent Baptist Church, we'll talk more about money. Just like tonight. Amen. But mission, listen to this. I am the fruit of investment. Many years ago, American churches sent missionaries in the Philippines. And I am one of the product. Amen. If America did not invest, that missionary invested his life, invested his talent, and American churches invested money to that missionary and went to Philippines. If you did not do it, I will not be here tonight. Right. Right. We should not quit. We should not stop. We need to keep on moving, sending missionaries in different countries, not only in the Philippines, not only Asian countries, but all over the world. There are about 7 billion reasons why you need to support missionaries. All over the world. But I want you to consider this. The question is this. Will God meet the needs of those who give to missions? You know, money doesn't go far anymore, but it will go far if you invest it in mission. Will God meet the needs of those who give to missions? You need to consider these things. Number one, about Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, please open your Bible. If your Bible is King James, open it. Amen. In verse 8, it says there that by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. If you are going to read verse chapter 12 of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12, and verse 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. And also verse 2. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Listen to this. Abraham did not understand what God is telling him. He did not understand. But you know, there are things God expects us to do even when we don't understand why he wants us to do it. And that is the basis of faith. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. What is faith? Faith is taking God at his word. Faith is the evidence of things, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. What does it mean? The word substance is the foundation. Faith is the foundation of our conviction or our belief that God will do his promise. Why God will do his promise? Because he is a righteous God. Thank God that our God is not a politician. Amen. He do what he says. Amen. So it says here that by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should not, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. You know what God says to Abraham? God says, I want you to trust me when it doesn't make sense. Don't you know that there's a lot of things Abraham didn't understand? You know, Abraham may say, why he has to leave his homeland? Why can God make of him a great nation in his own homeland? And after that, God promised of giving him a son. And between the time God gave him the promise and to the time of fulfillment of his promise, there was a 25 years gap. And when God gave him a son, God told him, look at your Bible in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou hast lavished, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountain which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. I like that attitude. Rose up early in the morning, so he was not late. Amen. And saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto this young man, abide ye here for with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And they said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and told him on the and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Can you imagine that? After God promised him a son, and after 25 years, God fulfilled his promise. And God told him, take thy only son to Mount Moriah and offered him to me. And they lay down, and he has a knife. Can you do that to your own son? Can you do that to your own son? I cannot do that to my own son. Maybe to my son-in-law, yes. But you know what? The most important thing I want you to see is in verse 11, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So he offered, and God said, God knowest that thou fearest God. And you know, because of that, the Bible says in verse 14, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven at the second time, and he said, by myself have I sworn, and said the Lord, for because thou hast done these things, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall be possessed the gate of his enemies. I want that word. Because thou do this, because you've done this, I will multiply. I will bless thee. Listen to this. The reason that God blessed him, because he obeyed God by faith. He trusts God. It reminds me, 36 years ago, when I went to this place, city of San Pedro Laguna, I don't know anybody there. One thing I know, that God called me, and I told my wife, we are going to that place with $40 support a month. $40 support a month. I don't have vehicles. I don't have bicycle. I don't have a car. I have a Volkswagen. I just walk. Volkswagen works. And it works. I remember Dr. Heil said, if you cannot spend 40 hours a week doing the soul winning, you cannot build a work. And I was so challenged. I make it 9 hours a day, 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon, 3 hours in the evening. In 7 months' time, the church was able to support their pastor. It works. By faith, you need to trust him. We need miracles. You know, the disciples did the miracles during the early ministry of Jesus Christ. We need miracles. You know, your ministry here must be done in a miraculous power of God through the members of this church. It can be done. We need to trust God. Listen to this. God is not asking things from you that you don't have. God is asking things from you that you have. When Abraham, he don't have a son, God did not ask him anything from him, but God asked Abraham, which is Abraham loved so much, his only son, Isaac. And he gave Isaac to God. Listen to this. It is a great picture of faith promise offering. You know, the first step of giving is tithing. You need to pay your tithes. The Bible says 10% of your income is not yours. It belongs to God. Look at your Bible, Leviticus chapter 27. If your Bible is King James, there is Leviticus. Amen. Chapter 27, verse 30. It says there, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. I like that word, holy unto the Lord. The word holy, it means God owns it. Just like Holy Bible, this is the book that God owns. That's why we believe that this is the preserved word of God. God owns it. Holy land, it is a land owned by God. And the Bible says that tithes, the 10% of your income, God owns it. Listen to this. You pay your tax here. If you're not going to pay your tax, the IRS will come after you and put you in jail. In Philippines, the same way. If you don't pay your tax, the government or the IRS will sue you, tax evasion. Listen to this. If you don't pay your tithes, that is tithes evasion. Quiet. We need to pay our tithes. Listen to this. God bless you, so you receive the blessing. When you receive the blessing, there's always responsibility. It's good to have a wife. Amen? But listen to this. When you married, you have responsibility. The first responsibility of the husband, love your wife. The first responsibility of the wives, submit unto your own husband. So blessing takes responsibility. So it is our responsibility to pay our tithes. And listen to this. When you pay your tithes, you are not giving yet. So from 90%, that's where you're going to get your faith promise offering. From 90%, you can do more for God. Amen. There's no limit because 10% is equal giving. Listen to this. Our people, their regular income is $7 or $10 a day. But I teach them to give, to pay their tithes. Because the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. What is the storehouse? The local church. Amen. But after you pay your 10%, you need to give to the Lord according to your faith. You need to trust God that out of 90%, you're going to give another 10% for a faith promise, another 10% for the building fund. Listen to this. You know, the Bible says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. So you need to pay and give. Bible says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Improve me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out the blessings that you don't have enough room to receive it. The key of the windows of heaven is pay your tithes. Amen. That's the key. And God will pour out the blessing if you give your faith promise offering. Because the tithes is for the general fund, but faith promise is to reach the world for Jesus Christ. If you are not giving your faith promise, then you are selfish. You are selfish. You don't want to reach the world. Listen to this. The reason that God saved you, so you can reach the world. If you cannot go, you need to support the one who will go. Amen. Somebody reached my soul. I remember about 3:30 in the afternoon, I was listening to the preaching of the gospel, and that pastor preaches about hell, and I was scared of hell. And I don't want to go to hell. And he said, but the way to escape out of hell is Jesus Christ. And I received Christ in my heart as my personal Savior. And God changed my life. Never dreamed to be a preacher. But 1973, God called me to be a preacher. Somebody must go. Somebody must reach the unreached people. Somebody must reach the country that are closed for the gospel. In Philippines, it's a revival time, I'm telling you. I think we have more freedom preaching the gospel than here in America. We can get into the school classroom. We can go to different offices and different restaurants and hold Bible study and preach the gospel. We can preach on the bus terminal while they're waiting for the buses. We preach there and got a lot of souls get saved. I don't know if you can do it here. I remember when I was in Florida, I'm sharing the gospel in gasoline station, and the manager said, what are you doing? I'm sharing the gospel. You stop that. If not, I'm going to call the police. What a free country. Wow. Country that was founded on the word of God? Wake up. Amen. Time to wake up. A country founded in the word of God. The country that you have only you have in your own currency. In God we trust. Where is it? Listen to this, church. If you are not going to do great things for God, something will happen to your country. I believe with all my heart, in spite of anything here in America, the reason that God's still blessing America, because there are independent Baptist churches who are sending missionaries to reach the world for Christ. Abraham obeyed. And he don't understand it. That's why obedience is better than understanding. You obey God, trusting him. Not only about Abraham. You turn your Bible with me, please. In the book of Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. It says here, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto him, Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your net for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. We find here, brethren, that Jesus repaid Peter for the use of his boat. Peter owned the boat, and Jesus used it. And you know, Jesus told him, Peter, launch out into the deep. And Peter said, Lord, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. You know, it's against the rules of the fisherman to launch out or to go fishing on the daytime. But it says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. In verse 5, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. That is faith. Lord, although it's against the law of the fisherman, but I trust you. I have faith of what you said. And he let down the net. And God repaid him. In verse 6, the Bible says, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. What does it mean? Why did God bless him? Because he let God to use his boat. Giving. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. Pacquiao believes that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. That's why he became a champion. No boxers wants to receive. They want to give and give and give and give. Amen. Until the opponent will knock out. Amen. If we want victory and the ministry, we need to learn to give and give and give. Why? Because the more you give, the more you get. Pacquiao believes on giving. That's why he gets $20 million. Amen. The more you give, the more you get. God's designed for us to give. Amen. Anything that God made, God's design is to give. The reason that God saved us, in order for us to give, we need to give the gospel for free. Amen. It is a responsibility. That's why we need to thank God that independent Baptist churches, they have a soul winning program, because we are giving the gospel for free. Salvation is free, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only that, open your Bible in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And verse 5 until 13. It says there in verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that this may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, small fishes. But what are these? What are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remains, that nothing be lost. Therefore, They gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Here is Jesus Christ feed the 5,000. The problem is, where are they going to get the food to feed the 5,000? Listen to this. These disciples, they don't know that Jesus can give it. And you know what? There was a lad. There was a boy. And he heard it, that Jesus is coming and he's going to preach. And he said, "Mama, I'm going there. I heard that they're going to have a preaching." And his mama said, "Okay, I let you go, but bring this lunch back with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes." "Mama, I don't need it. I'm excited to listen to that preacher." And mama said, "No, no, bring this lunch back with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He's a Baptist preacher. He preached long." So he took that lunch back with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they need food. And you know what Philip said? How can we feed them? Even 200 penny of bread, it's not enough. And there was a lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He gave it to Jesus. And Jesus blessed. You know why Jesus blessed? Because the lad gave it. Listen to this. You need to realize the reason that God is not blessing you because you don't give. So the lad gave the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and Jesus blessed it. And he was able to feed 5,000 men. If they are married, that's 10,000. If they have, it's of them, where they have, if every couple will have one child, that's 15,000. If they're Filipinos, that is 100,000. But in God, nothing shall be impossible. The greatest things, God is specialized in impossible things. And you know what? After they eat, there are leftover of 12 baskets. So the 12 disciples got every disciple have 12 baskets. Where did those 12 baskets go? Somebody said to the disciples, "No. Jesus told the disciples, bring the 12 baskets. You 12 disciples, take it to the house of this lad." Why? Because he was the one who gave it. "Give and it shall be given unto you." Amen. Can you imagine how the Lord blessed that boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And then when he went back home, he got 12 baskets. Why? Because God blessed him. Why? It is more blessed to give than to receive. In fact, we receive more than we give. Amen. Look at God. He gave his only begotten son. Look at what happened. Millions of people got saved. Look at Dr. Lee Robertson. He sent missionary in Philippines. And my father looked outside. My father, that man to the Lord. And that man won me to the Lord. And now the Lord, by his grace, I know I am not deserved. But by his grace, for 35 years, in faithfulness of preaching the gospel, now we have more than 100 churches started out of our church. I'm not bragging. It's not my church. That is God's church. Why? Because somebody gave. Because God, Jesus, asked what you have, not what you don't have. Listen to this. Here in America, are you listening? In America, you can get what you want. In Philippines, it is very hard for us to get what we need. Here in America, you go to the grocery store, food for the dog and cat, 2 lines. Food for the babies, 1/2 line. Why? You kill the babies and raise the cat and dogs. Hello? They call it abortion. There's no word abortion in the Bible. What is in the Bible is cold-blooded murder. It's a murder. And you raise the dog and cats. I go with Pastor Brother Mord in Lancaster, go door knocking. Every house, they have dogs. Not dog, dogs. If not two, three or four. Why they don't have kids? Some of them, they kill the kids. They abort. It is a sin. Can you imagine? They train the dogs. In America, you have more trained dogs than kids. You feed more dogs and cats. Can you imagine? I saw in Delhi City, there is a cemetery for pets. Maybe they have insurance. Can you imagine that? I don't have any medical insurance. If I die, I die. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was hospitalized only since 1996, only once. It's by the grace of God. Can you imagine that?
How much is the budget here in America for one dog?
How much do you budget? How much do you spend for one dog? If you have four dogs, how much do you spend a day? If you spend $10 a day for four dogs, $10 times 30, that is $300 a month. Question, how much do you give for mission to reach the world for Christ? How much? Silent night. I hope you will be convicted. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Christ will not ask you how many dogs you have, but how many souls did you won to Christ? How many missionaries did you support to fulfill the Great Commission? Listen to this. When we die, you cannot take your bank account to heaven. God entrusted it to you for His glory. In Philippines, as I've said, 75% of my people are poor. But I teach them to pay their tithes. I teach them to give a faith promise. We are supporting 10 missionaries in Philippine missionaries in Cambodia. We support missionaries in Africa, in Haiti. And we're sending missionaries. Why? Because that is God's design for every local church. Listen to this. If you are not put a certain amount, the best as you can, for the faith promise offering, you are missing the blessing. You miss the blessing. You miss the blessing. It is our responsibility. You miss the blessing if you don't give for faith promise mission. You miss the blessing if you are not involved in soul winning. You miss the blessing. It is not only God's design for us. The reason that God saved us from the penalty of sin in hell is not only in order for us to go to heaven. Because if that is the only design of God for us, right after our salvation, we'll go straight to heaven. But while we are here on earth, you know what God wants us to do? Let the whole world know that there is God that cares for their soul. That's why Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. I challenge you tonight, brethren. Listen to this. If you've been a member of this church for many years and you've been faithful to Christ, giving your faith promise, I'm telling you, look at your Bible in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 10. The last verse. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 6, it says here, chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. It says there in verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God never forget of your faithfulness. God never forget of what you are doing here. God never forget of what you are doing for His glory. You need to keep on going. Listen to this. We are not looking for the signs of His coming. What we are waiting for is the sound of the trumpet. But the question, what are you doing while we are waiting for the sound of the trumpet? Let us be faithful serving the Lord. Listen to this. The Bible says, much is given, much is required. God bless America so much. But someday, you will give an account of what God entrusted to you. I want to hear from the very mouth of Jesus Christ when I face Him at the judgment seat, thou good and faithful servant. If you want to hear that from His very mouth, you need to be faithful serving God. Faithful of walking with God, reading the Bible, praying, soul winning, giving. Bible says Enoch walked with God. Listen to this. God bless you here. There are nations around the world that never heard the gospel. They need to hear the gospel. People there, they're going to hell and crying, no man careth for my soul. But the question tonight, do you really care? If you care, put certain amount for faith promise offering so somebody can go to the place that never heard the gospel. Shall we all stand up, please?